Is it possible to make America great again? Recognize the crucial lessons we must learn from 250 years of American history. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
I'd like to discuss a new book I've written, and it's titled Great Again. And this is the first time that I've offered it on television, and I want to discuss it today. My book was actually published this summer, and at about the same time, the president-elect, Mr. Donald Trump, produced a book with the same title. So they came out about the same time, and I didn't know anything about his book at all. First, he originally wrote his book entitled, put the title on as Crippled America, and then later changed it to Great Again. Now, I think if you compare these two books, that you'll find the comparison very interesting, because they are, frankly, polar opposites when they tell you how to make America great again, how it's going to become great again. And I think this is not all just coincidence, because I think God wants Americans and all people in the world to have a choice to see which way they should choose, to choose life, as the Bible says. Now, the Americans are going to become more crippled unless they understand what is written in this new book of mine. And it's based on the Bible. It's not my idea. It's what God says is going to happen. This applies to America as a nation. It applies to individuals. God is giving us a choice. He always presents us with a choice.
That's my father on this very program 10 years ago, or almost 10 years ago, referring to this new book. It was new back then. It's been hard to believe it's been around now for 10 years. And it's just as relevant, just as important today as it was 10 years ago on today's show. We want to point your attention again to this most important book, Great Again. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Key of David. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. And one other thing we want to point your attention to, and that would be this issue of The Trumpet magazine. It's the July issue of The Trumpet. You can subscribe to The Trumpet magazine for free. There's no cost or obligation for any of our literature. Everything we offer on this show, as regular viewers know, is offered without cost or obligation. This July issue, you can see there on the cover, How America Became Great. Even to say great again, that was the slogan for President Trump back in 2016, before he became president the first time around. He said, make America great again. Well, if it was great before, what made it great? And are we still great? My father says in this issue of The Trumpet, if you don't know why you became great, how can you possibly remain great? This year marks the 250th anniversary of America's founding, America's 250th birthday. And that's what this whole issue of The Trumpet magazine is devoted to. And this is, as I said earlier, this is a great time to revisit the content in this book, Great Again. You can get to this literature or order it online at keyofdavid.com, or, of course, you can call our operators as well. But the issue of The Trumpet, I'll just try to plug both of them as we go. We had a promotion for that particular issue, The Trumpet magazine, asking or telling viewers seven things that you didn't know about America's greatness. This is something that most people do not know. For one, I can't cover all of them. The program time is not long enough. But for one, America's greatness was promised in the book of Genesis. You can read about it in Genesis 12. And again, in Genesis 17. And these promises, they're repeated all the way through the book of Genesis. Again, in Genesis 48. And all of that history, all of that prophecy, is explained in Herbert Armstrong's classic work on Bible prophecy, and that would be the United States and Britain in prophecy. But you look at Genesis 12, it truly is one of the most important passages of Scripture for understanding the history of America and also Great Britain as well. God in that passage, you can look at the passage later, but he promised Abraham, he said, I will make of you a great nation. And then there was another promise. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Let me read to you what Herbert Armstrong wrote in the United States and Britain in prophecy. He said right here, he's talking about this passage, these promises, these dual promises in Genesis 12. And he says right here is where those who profess to be Christians and their teachers have fallen into error and scriptural blindness. They have failed to notice the twofold promise God made to Abraham. They recognize the messianic promise of spiritual salvation through the one seed Christ. And then further, he says, this is a pivotal point. This is the point where professing Christians and their teachers jump the track of truth. This is the point where they switch off the track that would lead them to the missing master key to the prophecies. They miss the fact that God gave Abraham promises of physical race as well as spiritual grace. Promises of being a great nation, a prosperous, powerful nation. And there's also promises regarding the greatness, the prosperity, the wealth, the power of the British Empire as well. As I say, these are truths that most people don't know about. There's an article in this issue of The Trumpet that talks about just the geography of the United States and how much of a blessing it was for those pioneers to inherit this great land. And the article goes through the geography, all of the farmland, the navigable rivers and so on, the climate, everything, just perfect for a nation to become the single greatest superpower in history because of all of these favorable blessings. One commentator talked about America being exceptional and how it's the inevitable empire because it was given all the gifts, and those came from God. We'll get into that in just a second. But another thing few people understand about how America became great. It's got the world's oldest constitution, and it was built, it was founded, it was established on the Bible or principles from the Holy Scriptures. That makes the Constitution great. It's not perfect, it's still of man. And you see how bitterly divided America is today. But when the Constitution is upheld, when the rule of law is applied equally to all citizens, even to leaders. Well, you can see why, that for a time, the greatness, the blessings, the power, you're familiar with it if you know a little bit of America's history. Another point brought out in this promo for the Trumpet issue is that the founders of this great nation, they knew the source of America's blessings. They knew that it came from God, and they continually gave God credit for that. And they also knew, if you look at Abraham Lincoln, if you look at his example during the Civil War, which nearly ripped apart the country before it was even 100 years in. Now we're at the 250th birthday. What lessons can we take away from Lincoln and the crisis facing the United States back in the 1860s. Here the nation was bitterly divided and weak because of that division. America's fate, you could say, was just hanging in the balance. And President Abraham Lincoln, he actually called for a day of prayer and fasting. Fasting! He called upon Americans to fast and to humbly approach God in a prayerful attitude. to ask for the nation to survive. This is what he wrote on March 30th, 1863. He said, "And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." The blessings, he said, came from God. He said this in 1863, over 160 years ago. Notice what he continued to say. "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But," he says, "we have forgotten God." If that was true in 1863, if he was around today, what do you think he would say about America today? It's pretty much two Americas. That's what this booklet is about. Two Americas. You've had Barack Obama and you've had President Trump these past many years as president. And of course, Joe Biden was an extension of the Obama administration. And I won't get into the back and forth about what happened in 2020 and President Trump and the fact that he was silenced and all those things. But it's been political war, division, strife. Is it because we've forgotten God? Because America was bitterly divided in 1863 and America's president said, "It's because we've forgotten God." Lincoln said this, "We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. We've taken credit for these blessings. We say it's because of American ingenuity. It's because of our own greatness. And we can just do it again. If you get behind this political movement or this president, whoever it might be, whoever you're for, whoever you're supporting, well, we can be great. We can take credit for that greatness." Notice Hosea chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal." She didn't know. I gave her all these blessings, all this power and wealth. I promised it to Abraham and to his descendants. It was because of Abraham's obedience. It was because of Abraham's righteousness, not ours. But at least in the case of America's founders, there was an awareness there that the blessings come from God. And then that if we forget God, curses will set in. Notice what it says here in verse 9. "Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. And now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and none shall deliver her out of my hand." We're going to lose those blessings, just like Hosea 2 says here. If we don't change our course, we can't go forward just assuming that our greatness is assured, that we're going to be great just because we're America, we're powerful, we got a big army or a military, or we have all these blessings of physical wealth and prosperity. Well, look at some of the curses. Look at the astronomical debt figures. Look at the deficit spending. Look at the feckless Congress. Look at the bitter political division. As I said, look at the violence and the crime. Look at the lawlessness that goes in many cases unpunished. In Great Again, just to point you back to this booklet my father first wrote in 2016, Do you believe that the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you have a favorable view of the founding fathers, the Constitution, rule of law? It says here, if you do, then surely you are deeply alarmed by the state of America today. All of these pillars of American history and identity are being vilified and destroyed. America's educators are teaching oncoming generations to be embarrassed by them. Even the nation's leaders, so many of them, see them as shameful. On many foundational issues, they share the views of America's worst enemies. My father says there's a spiritual dimension to America's decline, and most people don't see it. They just don't see it. They don't see the spiritual dimension. They don't see the rampant wickedness and lawlessness. They don't see the fact that there's no repentance or that we've forgotten God. And that's why the curses are setting in. Make sure you go to keyofdavid.com to request this free booklet. And also you can get to the PDF of this issue, this particular issue of the Trumpet magazine, How America Became Great. We'll be right back.
President Donald Trump touched the hearts of millions of Americans with his campaign slogan, Make America Great Again. His promise will prove impossible to keep unless our nation turns to God in repentance. Gerald Fleury's booklet, Great Again, explains the spiritual dimension of America's decline that most people do not see. Also read the July 2026 Trumpet magazine, How America Became Great. This magazine delves into what caused the United States to rise to power and why we are now losing our national greatness. Learn how to achieve greatness in your own life by applying the lessons of 250 years of American history. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit keyofdavid.com.
But who is Jeroboam? Who is this man that the Bible talks about in this time frame of the last passing of God to warn Israel of their problems and difficulties and how they can solve them? So it's pretty mind-sobering when you think about it, that if you look at these end-time prophecies, God talks about individuals. He names names just repeatedly. And we need to understand those names and the role those men play if we're going to understand these end-time prophecies. It's essential that we understand these individuals. So this last time frame is just filled with Jeroboam. You could say it's a Jeroboam time frame or a Jeroboam end. So what does God want us to understand about Jeroboam, and what do you need to understand now to really comprehend these end-time Bible prophecies?
That's my father again from early 2017 talking about the Jeroboam prophecies, particularly Amos chapter 7, the very first chapter in this book, Great Again. Who is the modern-day Jeroboam? God names names in the book, Great Again. My father says, could Mr. Trump's presidency be prophesied in your Bible? Donald Trump's victory in the 2016 United States presidential election gives us a clear indication as to where we are in Bible prophecy. Where are we in Bible prophecy? Well, the arrival of this end-time Jeroboam tells us that we're in the Jeroboam end. The Bible is sure. 2 Peter 1 talks about the sure word of prophecy. A third of your Bible is prophecy, and yet most people, even in religious circles, just dismiss it. They brush it aside. My father says, most people pay little attention to Bible prophecy, but did you know that one-third of the Bible is prophecy and 90% of that prophecy is for our day? This is straight out of chapter 1 in Great Again. If you don't have a copy of it, make sure you request one today, whether by phone or the website, keyofdavid.com. My father says the prophet Amos recorded a prophecy about a leader named Jeroboam. I want to show you that this is referring to a powerful individual who is on the scene right now. Yes, indeed. Prophecy informs. God names names. God says you can't know the day or the hour, but you can certainly know the seasons that we're in. Prophetically speaking, notice Amos 7. We'll just finish the show going through a few verses that my father discusses in chapter 1 of Great Again. Get your Bible and read along, please. See for yourself what God is telling us, what God is preaching or speaking in these last days. My father says in the book, Donald Trump's presidential campaign in 2016 captured the support of this segment of Americans, the MAGA movement. He talks about the slogan, Make America Great Again. And that resonates with a lot of President Trump's supporters. And there's been quite the buildup to America's 250th birthday and plenty of talk about entering into a golden age and how that America's now an unstoppable force. There was a lot of talk about unity during the second inaugural that President Trump gave just last January, 2025. Well, look at the bitter division that we still see, the attacks, the multiple attacks on President Trump's life, the lawfare, the lawlessness, the spying, the hatred. It says here, the Bible has a lot to say about the state of America today. And the Bible also prophesies that these blessings would be removed in our day. America's problems are spiritual. He says again, he makes that point. And that same point is made in that landing page that directs you to this particular issue of the Trumpet magazine. Here in Amos 7 and verse 8, it says, And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, A plumb line. And then said the Eternal, Behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. So I don't have time to read the entire chapter, but you know, Amos is pleading with God to have mercy, to extend forgiveness, and God did do that. But this time, God says, it's the end. I'm not going to pass by anymore. This is their final warning. And for those of you that have followed this program any number of years, you know what we've said about why God brought Donald Trump back into the presidency. It was to give us one final opportunity to repent, to turn to God in humility, like Lincoln called for in 1863, to fast, to pray, to turn from our wicked ways. We had a program on that subject just a couple weeks ago. Verse 9, it says, And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. My father talks in our literature about a pause happening in the Trump presidency and how he was going to come back. That was what we were saying for 4 years. When you had Joe Biden installed, basically, as president between the first term of Donald Trump and then the second term. And in the middle there, for 4 years, we were saying he's coming back. It's prophesied because of 2 Kings 14, because of Amos 7. Verse 10, it says, Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos, God's prophet, God's preacher, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. One thing for sure about the prophets of old, minor prophets, major prophets, they brought messages to the people of Israel that were not popular. And what most people don't know about those messages is they're not ancient history. There's a duality to them. And so much of it is for our time, for the people of Israel today. and you need to know who they are. Herbert Armstrong spells that out in the book I mentioned earlier, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. But here we're introduced to this Amaziah figure, this priest that goes to Jeroboam or gets a message to Jeroboam saying, it's God's prophet is the problem. The messenger is the problem. And here we're being besieged by problems. And you would think people would want to know why. Why are these curses setting in? After all of the greatness, after all of the power. Well, it always comes back to the sin question, doesn't it? Verse 11, thus says Amos, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall be surely taken away captive out of their own land. And then verse 12, Amaziah said to Amos, go, flee you away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there, but don't prophesy anymore at Bethel, for it's the king's chapel. And it's the king's court. In Great Again, my father says, you can't fully understand the Amos prophecy without knowing who Jeroboam is. It seems obvious that God is telling us we've now entered the time frame of Amos chapter 7. And you read the way it ends there, that chapter. These are some terrifying prophecies. But thankfully, America's story doesn't end with prophecies like what you see at the end of Amos 7. There is a time coming. Even the correction that God sends, Jesus talked about great tribulation, but even the correction is meant to turn our nation back to God. God doesn't send the correction to destroy the people of Israel, the nations of Israel. He sends that message so that we'll turn to Him, turn from our wicked ways and turn our hearts to God. And there's coming a time when that actually will happen, but it's going to take the government of God on this earth and a lot of correction before that's established on earth, a lot of correction to finally turn the hearts of men to God. Don't forget to request Great Again and go to our website, keyofdavid.com, so that you can read that July issue of the Trumpet Magazine. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you again next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To request the free literature on today's program, visit keyofdavid.com.